Number 21, if you have your outline that I gave you this morning, and again, you say, Reggie, this isn't like preaching. What are you doing? Well, I'm trying to build us up in the most holy faith. And as I said, my goal about this is to cause you to have an unshakable faith in the Word of God. Now, listen, you don't have to have all this to have that. You can just, you know, if the Holy Spirit, by the way, you can have all kinds of evidence and still not believe it. But this is things, especially, you know, just when the devil tries to shake you, maybe you'll kind of pull the ice out and say, you know what, I know I've got a Bible and I've got God's Word. And by the way, it is an important thing because Romans chapter 4, in this that great book about the faith, Abraham talks about this, how that, you know, he staggered not at the promises of God. God had to give him something. And, you know, what was going on? Satan is trying to stagger us. And let me just tell you something, I'm a preacher, but you think the devil won't come to me? And by the way, not only that, but you'll have relatives and you'll have friends and acquaintances that don't, you know, that they almost think you're an idiot to read the King James Bible. Yeah. By the way, you know what I like telling them? Well, your grandpa had it and he didn't think he was an idiot. Yeah. Amen. And there was a time, as I said this morning, when all of America, nearly, I mean almost all of America, used this Bible, and God did something with it. Amen? In fact, I'd like to go sometime through all the things that God did in this nation through the preaching of the Word of God. And it's tremendous. But anyway, we're going to take off at number 21 tonight. And again, this is the oneness of the Spirit in the oneness of the Word of God, Christ in person, and the oneness of that in print. And these two are joined, and what God hath joined, what? Let not man put us under. All right, so the Bible, it sanctifies. John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Well, now wait just a second here. If I get up here and tell you, now I prefer the King James Bible, but I do use other ones. And they disagree, and they do. Now, don't let anybody tell you they don't disagree. They disagree. Amen. Much. I had a text from a guy today. I'm not sure where he's from. But he texted me, and I haven't checked this out yet. But he said, Reggie, if you take the book of Mark, I'll have to go back. But anyway, most of your versions take out about 11 verses in the last chapter. Some of you guys may know about this, but they take those out. And if they don't take it out, they put brackets around it and say, this is not in most old manuscripts, blah, blah, blah. He said, if you count all the, I'll just have to get out, but wound up being 666. You take those out, that's what you got left in the counting. That tells you something. Yeah. You know, I want you to look at this verse again. Thy word is what? That's a huge statement. Amen. And if you think it needs correction, you know what you're saying? Yeah. It's not all true. Yeah. It's not all right. And you're calling God a liar. I said this morning, my Facebook post, you don't believe this book's accurate. You're calling God a liar. Right. Whether you like it, he says you are. I'm not me. I'm not the one. Yeah. He said it's truth. And but anyway, that's how God sanctifies it. He said John, he said he sanctified. Jesus sanctified. Look at chapter 17, verse 19. For thy sakes I sanctify myself. In another past scripture, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. And as for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified through the truth. And again, this issue about sanctification is going to come by the truth being poured into your spirit, the truth being poured into your mind and heart. This book is alive. This book is powerful. This book can change you. That's why Satan didn't want you to read it and believe it. And so if you want sanctification, now sanctification is you get saved. There's a sanctification that occurs at that time, but there's also a progressive sanctification where God continuously changes you as the Word of God lives and moves within your life. And God separates, sanctifies, set apart unto God. Well, number 22, the Bible is given for everlasting life. Acts 13:46. They can get that. We'll get that up here in just a second. Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God, there it is, should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you. Said, you put the word of God from you. Watch this. Put it from you. And judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. What's he saying there? This book that you put away from you could have given you everlasting life. How'd you learn that Jesus died for you on the cross? Maybe somebody told you, but where'd they learn it from? How do you know about God? How do you know about creation? It comes from the Word of God. This book is powerful. It is life and it gives life. Born again, watch this, 1 Peter 1:23, born again of incorruptible seed. Your new birth, God says, occurs through this book. That's Bible. Amen. Born again and with uncorruptible seed, the Word of God. It literally says that. Amen. What am I trying to prove to us tonight? This is not just some ordinary book. Amen. This is the Word of God. Amen. It's eternal. It's what we're going to be faced with at judgment. I am telling you, here's what I'm trying to do. Lift our reverence and lift our esteem and lift our respect and lift our appreciation of the Bible.
Amen.
Lift our sense of its importance to us. Yes. It's everything.
Amen.
And to no longer look at it casually and unreverently. All right. So let's go now to Jesus is given for everlasting life. John 3:16. You all know that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible is given for everlasting life. Jesus is given for everlasting life. Number 23, the Bible is called faithful and true. Revelation 22:6. And he said unto me, these sayings, what? He's finishing up the Bible right here. These sayings, I told you this morning the Bible speaks, are what? Faithful and true. There it is again. What is he telling you? Last thing he's telling you in the Bible. These sayings are faithful and they're true.
Amen.
Don't say they're not. Don't say it's got mistakes.
Amen.
Don't say it's inaccurate. Don't say it was mistranslated. Wasn't. And here's the whole key. You got to get, see, there, look, I want you to just think about something. How many churches are there in maybe here in this area? It's better. I hope it is. I don't really know. But all the feedback I'm getting, one of the reasons I'm preaching this is online on tonight. The TV's not on there. But anyway, if you're online, glad you're here. But a lot of people online, one of their big concerns, one of the reasons they listen is they don't have a church near them that preaches out of the King James Bible.
Yeah.
And so think about this verse with the fact how many churches have left the Bible.
Yeah.
Watch this, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Few.
Yeah.
Did you know right now in America there's few churches?
Yep.
Now I'm not on a trip about we're the only people going to heaven and nobody else. I didn't say that. But I will tell you this, that this book is the path of life.
Amen.
And I get off this. I don't know what your conclusion is about that, but it can't be good.
Yeah.
All right. Jesus is called faithful and true in Revelation 19:11. So now the Bible is called faithful and true. I saw heaven open, behold a white horse, and he, who is that? Jesus Christ, set upon him, was called faithful and true. In this way, how many things, man, this is uncanny. You're at 22 issues in the Bible where exactly the same thing is said about Jesus that's said about the Bible.
Yeah.
And by the way, why would the Holy Spirit do this? Think, why would he do this? Maybe he wants us to know something. Maybe he wants us to get off of our low esteem of just saying, well, you know, it's just the Bible and you can just pick out whichever one you want to use. And, you know, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal.
Amen.
I want to ask you a question. Let's just do something right here. Just show you. I'll show you how much this is. Brother Kime, I want you to stand up. Jim, would you stand up? You guys are really handy here. I want you to walk over here. And I want you to say, you're a liar. I don't believe you.
You're a liar. I don't believe you.
He's grinning. How many tonight would appreciate anybody just, you said something to somebody and you just want to say, you're a liar. I don't believe you. What if that was a real life scenario, what would be going through your mind right now?
not something good.
Not something good. I mean, how many in here, I mean, if we lied, if it's the truth, I guess just truth, eat it, okay?
Yeah.
But if he, you know, he's not lying to him, but he just up and says, you're a liar. I don't believe you're telling me the truth. Is that not one of the most offensive things you can possibly do to another person?
Right. Amen.
I mean, it's one of the most offensive things you can possibly do. I mean, Adam, you didn't walk up here and say, I didn't believe you, you're just a liar. That'd be a hard take, wouldn't it? I had a guy get on Facebook then and tell me that I was lying while I was preaching. Said I was just selecting verses here and there. And then he gave me his real opinion about the Bible that's just a conglomeration of crazy people's writings. But here's my point. You in sincerity walk up to him and say, I don't believe a word you said. You're a stinking liar. That is one of the most offensive, you guys can sit down. That's one of the most offensive things you'll ever tell anybody. You better be sure you're telling the truth when you pop that one off.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
How much more tonight to tell God, that book is not straight, it's not right, it's not accurate, it has errors in it, mistakes and mistranslations in it.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing? You're looking up in the face of Almighty God and you're saying you're a liar.
Right, yeah.
You say, oh, that's taking it to an extreme. No, it's not. You wait till judgment.
That's right.
You wait till judgment. And I don't believe God's taking it lightly tonight. And I'll tell you one reason to believe. There's a curse on America. I don't know how many people's got that figured out.
Yeah.
This country is under judgment.
Yes.
I mean, it is absolutely out of the banks.
Yep.
Craziness going on.
Yep.
That's judgment from God. You know why? Called him a liar.
Yep.
We've, like said a while ago, seen you put it away from yourselves.
Yep.
Judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life.
Yep.
This book could have given you life and you cast it out. It's no good. It's, you know, it ain't worth anything. See, it's not. Here's what the problem is. God is not judging this nation because the heathen or the unbelieving or the godless crowd doesn't appreciate the Bible. God is judging this country because the people who profess his name have cast the Bible out.
Yeah.
This is, you know, and again, somebody has said, well, you just need to preach the Bible and quit preaching about the Bible. That sounds real cool, but the only problem is it's not accurate.
Yeah.
The Bible has worlds and worlds of passages of Scripture about itself.
Right.
In fact, the last thing he says, don't monkey with the Bible.
Yeah.
John the Revelator was preaching about the Bible when he finished the Bible.
Yeah.
So don't say you shouldn't preach about the Bible. The reason about this is because this is what Satan, why does God want us to preach about the Bible? It's to build people's faith up.
Amen.
To go build a bulwark against and an offensive weapon against the lies that Satan are going to tell people.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. So again, it's about building our faith up. But this statement, faithful and true, is said both about Christ and the Word of God. That's a big statement.
Yeah.
Number 24, the Bible is above God's name. Psalms 138:2, I will worship toward thy holy temple, praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy name above all thy name.
Yeah.
That will blow your head off, socks off, and blow your hat in the creek. Do you mean to tell me that God Almighty says in his word, Brother Jerry, that he puts this book above his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it said. You don't need Hebrew and Greek to figure that out either.
Right.
Now watch this. Same thing is said about Jesus. Philippians. Or did I get that? I'm sorry. Yeah, Philippians 2, 9 and 10. Did I get that? Guys, I got that backward, didn't I? Somehow or another. Philippians 2, 9 and 10. Can we get that? I'm being lazy. I'm not even turning my Bible tonight. So can't gripe with nobody else. Philippians 2, 9 and 10. What does it say there? God hath given him a name that is above every name. Same thing. What? The same word, above. Got it? Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, who, talking about Jesus Christ here in this passage, and given him a name which is above every name. So the Bible says that he puts his word above his name, and he puts Jesus above his name.
Yeah.
That's what your Bible says.
Right.
All right, let's go with the next one. These are just interesting to me. The Bible is seed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again. Now this is your salvation. This is your salvation. This is really, really important. Being born again. Jesus said you must be born again.
Yes.
Not of corruptible seed. Why would he even say that? Because there is corruptible seed out there.
Right.
There's seed that's been messed with by man.
Yeah.
You go to planting corn these days, what kind of corn do you plant? Most of the time you plant corn's been messed with. That will not reproduce. truth.
Yep.
They've messed with the genetics, the genes. They watch this. They went into the seed to poison and corrupt the seed. This is what's went on the last 100 years in this country.
Amen.
Is a corrupting of the seed of God. But here's a wonderful thing. God ain't letting them do it.
Amen.
Now I'm going to throw you one of the wildest thoughts that's ever hit my mind concerning this. Satan, in the form of a serpent, came to Eve, and he, first of all, cast doubt upon the Word of God. And before they're done, they're both adding and subtracting from the Word of God. If you take it to its follow all the way through. God put that in the Bible.
Yeah.
Why did God put that in the Bible? There's a truth in there. Watch this. The corrupting of the seed was recorded in the Bible, I believe, and know for our benefit. The Bible says in the New Testament, these written for your learning. Okay. But God did not remove that out of the Bible, but he preserved his seed in the midst of it. Now I'm going to tell you something I believe with all my heart. God is going to preserve his seed in the midst of the perversions, but he's not going to remove the perversions, because the perversions are a way of God separating the tares and the wheat. They're a way. You see, think about one of the principles of God, how he works is he doesn't remove every mountain in front of you.
Right.
He doesn't remove evil people necessarily around you. You say, why? There's things that God allows in this world to try us, to see what we'll do with it.
Right.
Why does God? Why in the world did God allow, think about this, why did God allow Satan to tempt Eve and then Adam with this thing? Why didn't he just remove it? Why doesn't God remove the perversions of Scripture from us today? He's trying us. He's putting us through the fire. He's testing us to see whether our allegiance is to man or to God. It's the truth. God could easily. He could have stopped all these perversions. He's not even. He's, in fact, if I can tell you something, it's going to get worse.
Yeah, right.
Do you know what Jesus said? When he comes again, will he find faith on the earth? It will be so bad by the end of the tribulation period that I believe there'll probably be a new Bible written by AI, and every other Bible will be outlawed, and it'll be an Antichrist Bible, and it'll be the only Bible permitted, because he's not going to permit anybody to worship anybody else. But God's word is eternal, and God will conquer it in. Now let's go back to this seed thing, because this is very, very important. Now I went through this a little bit this morning, but seed, built into the seed, is everything that the mature of that seed has in it. That's a scientific fact.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, isn't it funny? How many's got to be 60 and you looked at a photo somebody took of you and go, my land, I look like my mama. Or I look like my dad. Or I look like my mom's side of the family. I looked at a picture of myself here about a year and a half ago, and I thought, my man, I look like the Rhodeses. I mean, just all over, like my mom's side of the family. I thought, good land, that looks like Dean or somebody. And sometimes they tell me I look like Clyde, you know, whatever. But isn't it amazing the seed that's in us and the reproduction? But that was in the seed.
Yeah.
I could say something tonight, and I'm not going to say it because some of you wouldn't take it. It'd be a little bit crude. But just take the thought of seed. You have an Old Testament, New Testament. I'll just throw this out to you. How many ovaries does a woman have? Seed. Somebody picking it up. I don't want to be discreet. Okay. This truth. A seed's built into it. Go back this morning where he was talking about, where was the Bible before Adam? It's eternal.
Amen.
Seed form. And that seed form developed. And when a baby's even born, it's not fully developed. Even when the Bible became to be written, it was not fully developed. Moses wrote the first five books. That wasn't a full development. And as it moved on. But now you and I have, and how do we know that we have a finish? Well, we'll look at it. All right, let's go. Let's get off the seed deal here. The seed deal is a month's worth of study in the Bible. It really is. Talk about your body. My land. All right, number 26, the Bible grew and increased. Acts 6:7. Just once you look at this. Word of God increased. Number of the disciples multiplied greatly, and the great company of priests obedient to the faith. The word of God did what? It increased. Acts 12:24. But the word of God grew and it multiplied. Acts 19:20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. But how many knows the Bible was not completed at the time that was going on?
Right.
Now go to Luke 2:40-52. The child did what? grew. It's just there. I can't help it. I'm sorry. I didn't write the book. Look at verse 52. If you want to there, we can go to verse 52. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. Same words. Grew, increased. Jesus grew and increased. Bible grew and increased. All right. Number 27, the Bible. Evil men sought to destroy it. Jeremiah 36:23. Came to pass that when Jehudah had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife. Jehudah graduated from so-and-so Bible college and seminary. And after he had read three or four leaves of what he didn't like, he thought he should cut it out. Cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the rose consumed the fire and that was on the hearth. Can you see? Now, folks, that is not a smart thing to do. And that'll get you in trouble. But he did it. The funny thing about it, if you read the old story, God just turned around and says, Jeremiah, here's that, and here's some more. You ain't going to destroy the word of God but throw it in the fire. You ain't going to start. See, they're not destroying. Can I give you some good news tonight? Your King James Bible is going to be here when the thunder rolls and time shall be no more. You can say what you want to about that. Anyway, cut it out. All right, let's go to Jesus. Evil men sought to destroy him. Matthew 2:13. And they were departed. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child, his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there till I bring you the word again. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. He wanted to do the same thing that the king did to the word of God, destroy him. And that's been the battle all the way down through time. All right. Number 28, the Bible is preserved. Psalms 12:6-7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Go back to verse number 6 if you don't care, guys. The words of the Lord. By the way, that's S plural. Words of the Lord are what? So what's this? So it's 1963, and you got an old King James Bible your grandpa had, and you're reading it. And you don't believe that. I don't believe they're pure words. I was told while I went to seminary that Bible's got mistakes in it. It is pure unbelief. Pure unbelief.
Right.
That's all it is. Take it where it's really at. Pure unbelief.
Yes, yes.
Because he read out of his grandpa's King James Bible, the words of the Lord are pure words.
Yes.
As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Slade talked to me about that. There's a whole other subject about the purification seven times. Sometime we'll do that. But now watch what he said. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord.
Yeah.
Who's doing the keeping?
God is.
That's the whole secret. That is the whole secret. If you get that down, that God, keeping his word, preserving his word, is his word, it's not in the hands of men.
Right.
They could go out and try to burn every Bible in the United States tonight, and they're not going to get rid of the word of God.
Amen.
God probably set up five printing presses and print another five million the next day. I don't know. But you're not going to get rid of it.
No.
It's because God said it's forever. But watch this. He said, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Preserved.
Yeah.
It's already cooked in the books.
Amen.
And you just can't get away from this. And I'm just telling you this. Now listen, if I fell over of a heart attack this week, or I got hit by a train or a truck, and I went out into eternity, I want to leave you with this. You got a book that's is God's book. You don't have to worry about it. Don't mess with it. Just believe it and go with it. Amen?
Amen.
You don't have to worry about it. Kids, please listen to me. When I'm off the scene, if Jesus tarries, mark my words, you're in for some rough sailing.
Yep.
Ain't degree no. I hate to tell you that, but God will give you grace.
Yes, He will.
But this will be one of the greatest areas where you're going to be tested at. God is going to preserve. He's preserved it forever. He's going to preserve him. If he doesn't, he's a liar. If he doesn't, he didn't do what he said he would do. Now the question comes, well, where did he preserve him? In the original Hebrew and Greek manuscripts. If anybody ever tells you that, you know they don't know anything about what they're saying.
Right.
Number one, there are no original manuscripts in the world that anybody knows about anywhere. None.
Right.
Zero. Oh, so with the Dead Sea Scrolls, those are not originals.
That's right.
The originals would be the first paper or the skins that the writers wrote on. That's an original.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is none. If it was, it would be encased in a glass bomb shelter. And there's not enough money in America to buy them if you had them.
Yeah.
Right. Now, but you have copies.
Right.
And copies. Copies. Now, I'm going to ask you, what if that old boy made a mistake and didn't put the T in the right place? See, when you bring yourself down to the level of man's caretaking,
right,
that man's got to preserve it, that's when you got yourself in trouble.
Yeah.
It's weird to me that people can believe in inspiration. Well, we believe in inspiration. They got all this little sling. I tell you what I dare you do. Go get a interest book or go to churches. Open up their website for their doctrinal statement. If they do not have in their doctrinal statement that we believe in the preserved word of God in the authorized version, you know they don't believe in the preservation of Scripture, and they all leave it out.
Bad.
Go to your favorite Bible college and see what they say in there.
Yeah.
Don't believe in it. And they're teaching all the preachers.
Yes, they are.
And they teach preachers also how to do something. They teach preachers how to go into a church, they use the King James Bible and pull them out of put away from it. They teach them how to do that. And they do it by what's called the doctrine of Nicolaitans. Nicol means conquer the laity. I'm the guy that graduated from seminary. I know what I'm talking about. You don't know anything. Shut up and listen to me. I will tell you. This is a wrong mistranslation. In the Greek, it should have said.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, okay. Man, that sounds powerful. That guy really knows his stuff.
Yeah.
He even used some Greek words behind the pulpit. I didn't even know what they meant, but he did. What's he doing? He's dancing. He's performing for you. He's charming you like a serpent. You say, well, Reggie, isn't there anything to that? Not a thing to it.
Hey.
Next guy that tells you about Hebrew and Greek, ask him if he can preach a message in it.
Yeah.
If it's so important and so powerful, can you preach the Sunday message all Greek? Don't use any English. If you're quoting Old Testament, do Hebrew. If you're New Testament, do Greek. And use no English. They can't do it. If it's so important, it's so great, why are we even using English for? If it's the basis of authority, and here's where your big deal has come. You get three of them in a cafe together over a table to eating breakfast, and they start talking about, they don't even agree about the definition of the Hebrew and Greek words. They fuss and fight over them.
Amen.
Oh, that's not what that means. It's a current past tense.
Yep.
Stupidest stuff you ever heard. I mean, they just wallow themselves in all this here unbelief. Instead of preaching the word, they just wallow in all this. I'm puffed up. I'm the somewhats. Is that my truck? Anyway. All righty. Somebody's alarm going off. I have no idea. I wouldn't have any idea whose it would be. But we're glad they're here. Amen. So it's preserved. Now, by the way, isn't it wonderful the nature of seed? King Tut, anybody been to King Tut's tomb? You have, a few of you, it's pretty neat. If you ever get a chance to see it, you're going to see it. King Tut's tomb, something else. Did you know when they found his tomb, they got it all there, were seeds planted with him? And those seeds still had vitality to them. They could plant them and come up.
Yeah.
Unless you, if you take care of seed right, I mean, it's just there. Has its life built into it. Okay, let's look at number 29. The Bible is holy, 2 Timothy 3:15. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known what? Holy Scriptures. Holy means it has a lot of implications. One of the things it is, it's separated from the secular. It's sacred. And it's separated unto God. Okay, holy. It's not normal. It's not secular. It's not the norm. It is holy. But God calls this the Holy Scriptures. By the way, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ. All right, now, so we have a Bible that's holy. Let's look in Acts 3:14. But ye denied the Holy One. So there you are. The Bible is called the Holy One. Jesus is called the Holy One. Holy Scriptures, Holy One. That's also in Psalm 16:10. Now, number 30, there are false Bibles. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter. Yeah, let's keep the Lord forever, for this generation forever. All right. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 2:17. 2 Corinthians 2:17. For we are not as many. Look at this word. Look at here. What's that word? Does anybody know how many translations there have been made since 1910? Many, many, many. New ones coming off all the time. We are not as many which do what? What do they do to the Bible? Corrupt the Word of God. But as the sincerity but is of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. Paul said that we're not like a lot of people. By the way, if you go back and study the history of the Bible and stuff, you find out there were all kinds of rascals writing all kinds of, quote, Enoch, the book of Enoch.
Yeah.
Stay away from that. Hell, that's hell's trash.
Amen.
Hell's trash. Stay away from it. I'm your pastor. I don't want you eating a poison weed to kill you. I know people personally who've been off on this book of Enoch. You know what they've done now? They've totally rejected this book.
Yep.
Totally rejected this book, and they're off on the book of Enoch now. And it's going to tell everybody what's going to happen in the end times and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Stay away from it. Poison you.
Amen.
And this is another thing about discernment. You're on that phone, you're on the internet, and some guy pops up, you know, and he's got this lesson or this here real deal about this, that, and the other. You be careful. He's not going to tell you what he's really up to on the start. He's going to tell you enough to pull you in to get him to listening. And then he's going to drop the bomb on you about three videos later. Okay. There are false Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, this word, being born again, not of corruptible seed. God clearly telling you there is corruptible seed, and there's many people out there making these corruptible seeds.
Yeah.
There's false Christ. There are false Bibles.
Yeah.
There are false Christs.
Yeah.
Matthew 24:24. There shall arise what? False Christ. False prophets. And the thing that bothers me is that people just don't believe it. Catherine Kuhlman. I'm so sick of hearing about her. I hope nobody in this place listens to one thing that woman ever said. She's dangerous. By the way, did you know that some of the major cults in the United States started by ladies? Preacher, women preachers. Ellen White started the Seventh-day Adventist deal. You ever studied that history? She had all kinds of stuff. The very first prophecy that bunch made, they call it the Great Disappointment. You can read about this. It's called the Great Disappointment. They prophesied that Jesus Christ would come, and they give a specific date. I believe it was October like the 8th, 1840-something. And he didn't show up. And at midnight, all these people almost wanted to kill themselves because they sold everything, got themselves all ready for Jesus to come, the first prophet of the first promoter of the Seventh-day Adventists. How do you like that? So then Ellen White comes along and she says, oh, you know, yeah, he got it wrong, but at least his intentions were good. He was sincere. He just missed it. But God has really shown me in the Bible how it's all going to happen.
Wow.
And she went around. I mean, it's just sickening. And this bothers me. I'm just going to tell you tonight. First time I ever saw Jim and Tammy Faye, I said they're fake. First time I ever saw them. You know how I knew they were fake? Their spirit that was coming out of them was not of this book.
Amen.
Let me tell you something about a false prophet. They will not preach on your sin. They're going to tell you everything to butter you up and soak you up and, boy, I mean, tell you, and ease you, and get, make you get in your pocket.
Yep.
And by the way, I hate to just say this, but Tammy Faye turned me off just looking at her. She painted up like a Picasso painting. Get on there and just grin and grin and grin.
Yeah.
and passing you everything, and preaching on, going, that ain't God, that ain't of God right there. There's something missing. And you say, Reggie, I ain't trying to be smart. I'm just telling you, this is a flat honest truth. And I can name a few others, but some of you are in love with them, so I ain't going to offend you tonight. But some of you need to wake up about who you're listening to, who your stuff on. Amen. Yeah. Just be honest with you. Some of you, you think I'm ornery. You ain't never seen me ornery till I get to mocking and imitating some of them guys. God didn't call me to do that, did he? He called me to preach the word of God. All right. There's false Christ. Let's turn the page and head down the stretch toward home. Number 40. Is that right? No. Number 31. We're not... Good grief alive. Let's run through them real quick tonight. Jesus was nailed to the tree. How many knows that the Bible was nailed to the tree? How, when was it, Brother Josh? Brother Michael? How was the Bible nailed to the tree? I mean, just, you know, and if you miss it, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Exactly. The handwriting of ordinances was, that's the law. Was Bible says it was nailed to his cross. That's the Bible. But I give you something else. It was literally nailed to the cross. What did Pilate have written up there? This is what?
King of the Jews.
Yeah. That's Bible. Amen. That's what the Old Testament prophesied he was. And what they run in prayer, take that off the cross. Don't you put that right. He said, what I've written, I've written. Can I tell you something? This will blow you away. How many thinks Pilate was a nice guy?
No.
How many wanted him for a next door neighbor?
No.
Mean as a snake. Did you know that God used Pilate to write some of the Bible? Well, he was a nasty, terrible person. God said, God just, he used who he want to. That's not the issue. God used, but the Bible was nailed to the cross. By the way, what is it? Let's just see if I can remember tonight. In Hebrew, Latin, and Arabic, was that the three languages?
Aramaic.
I always say that wrong, don't I? Yeah. Does anybody know what language did the English language spring out of? Does anybody know? Latin, you're right. So you had the three major languages up on the cross. The Bible was nailed to the cross. Jesus was nailed to the cross. But even deeper than that, like the guy said, is that in Colossians?
Yeah.
It's that in Colossians, isn't it? The handwriting of ordinances, the law, was nailed to his cross, blotting out.
Amen.
Well, to me, this is a big one. Because when you move into the cross, you're moving to redemption and the whole plan and purpose of God's eternal purpose. Okay, number 32, Jesus was hung on a tree. Galatians 3:13. You can put that up there, guys. God, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. All right, the tree is a big subject in the Bible. Started off in Genesis with tree, come to the cross with the tree, you get in Revelation, trees of life on each side of the river. Tree is a big subject in the Bible. The Bible even talks about you and I should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What's the rivers of water? Right here. Y'all plant your kids next to the river of water, amen?
Yeah.
They get their roots in the Word of God.
Amen.
Well, the Bible is hung on a tree. Look there on your deal I wrote down. The Bible is printed on, hung on. The words are hung on paper. Where does paper come from? A tree. By the way, watch this. This is wild. What they call wood that they make paper out of? Pulp wood. Have you ever heard the statement, they beat him to a pulp? Jesus was hung on a tree. God hangs this Bible on a tree. Whether you don't believe this or not, these pages were once a tree. They're a tree that has been beat to a pulp. Truth. Number 33, the Bible heals. Psalms 107:20. He sent his word and healed them. Of course, you know in Isaiah and 1 Peter 2:24, Jesus heals. I'm going to tell you all our soul's diseases. And let me tell you, I'm just going to say a manifestation of truth tonight. When you talk about healing in the Bible, does anybody know how the New Testament church is to exercise prayer for healing? James tells you. You call for the elders of the church. It's almost as if you were home and you called for the elders of the church. And there's some very important things, and I was going to be honest with you. I've been in several times and we've prayed for the sick, and there's some stuff in there that bothers me pretty rough. One of them is confess your faults one to another. That's very seldom ever done. Prayer, the healing part of a church's healing, where God heals people, is very, very, it's got a deeper purpose than just that that person getting well. He's wanting to heal the spiritual body of the church. And I'll just tell you something. I've been in some rough situations where people are dying. And Reggie, pray. Okay, what's God trying to do? Bring us in, get us honest. Brings storms into our life, get us honest, and all of a sudden confess your faults one to another. Okay? Of course, a lot to that, not getting into that tonight about healing, but when you're in the Gospels and Jesus is healing the blind stuff, please listen to me tonight. Just check me out on this, and just at least give me a listen. Those are kingdom signs healing. They're not church sign healings.
Amen.
They're not. Go back in your Old Testament, that's where you'll find out about it. Prophesied Jesus would come and these signs of the kingdom. By the way, you'll see this again in the kingdom. Okay? The church's deal is not some tent set up or some auditorium where people are coming forward to be healed. That is not in the church at all. And you didn't even see Jesus doing that.
Right.
You can't find Jesus saying, hey, we're going to have a healing service tonight.
Right.
Mm-mm. By the way, when he healed them, they were healed.
Yep.
Right.
But let me tell you the ultimate healing. When the Bible talks about healing, here's what everybody needs to get. The healing that God, and I'm just so thankful for this, it's the healing from what sin did to your mortal body, your spirit, and your soul. And you're resurrecting to a new glorified body.
Amen.
Is the actual biblical fulfillment of God totally and absolutely and forever healing you.
Amen.
And you will never be sick again.
That's
the literal Bible healing that Jesus has done in us through the atonement.
Amen.
It's just the truth now. I'm just giving you some truth. I know a lot of people don't like to hear that. But the church, if you're sick, the implication is in James 5 that you call the elders of the church.
Yes.
And they get together, they confess their faults. Now, I believe one time I heard a preacher say to everybody in the room, is everybody in this room right with God?
Yeah.
Before we pray, is everybody in this room totally right with God before we even pray?
Yeah.
Has anybody got anything they need to confess before we pray? I appreciate that because that's not monkeying around, just going through the motions. Now, I'm not against, if you're sick and you're here at church and you would just like to be prayed over, we do that here. I'm for that. But I'm not for playing with people. Because, just being honest with you, most of this stuff, you can do some research on it. A lot of this stuff going on is not real. It's phony. It's a $3 bill. People have been paid to be actors and all that kind of stuff. It's sad, tragic stuff. But these charlatan preachers know. What they know something the Bible says, all that a man hath will give for his life.
Yeah.
They can pull every bit of money out of you.
Yeah. Right.
Through healing. Please just give me a listen, that's all I ask you to do. As we said there in verse number 34, Jesus gave us salvation, spiritual healing by the stripes on his back. Isaiah 53:5. 1 Peter 2:24, the Bible's sentences are words or stripes. If you take your Bible like this tonight, turn it like that, look down through there, you'll see stripes on your Bible. That's right. Listen, this is all designed of God. And it's there for a message to us. The Bible is perfect, number 35. Psalms 19:17, 1 Corinthians 10. Jesus is perfect. Hebrews 2:10, Colossians 1:28. I know that you believe that, and we won't need to go there. The writing of the Bible is finished. Revelation 22:18-19. Jesus' redemptive work is finished. The Bible's finished and Jesus is finished. Amen?
Amen.
You don't need to add to it.
Amen.
One of the saddest things in the world to me is just seeing this crowd go around and talk about that old Joseph Smith found these plates out there somewhere in New York State and dug them up, and then an angel by the name of Moroni visited him, and then he took his black hat, put his little stones inside his black hat. Mormonism is full of Masonic Lodge symbols.
Yes,
and I won't go there tonight, but I'm telling you, I'm going to encourage you tonight, do not be involved in the Masonic Lodge.
Amen.
Now let me tell you something right now. There's one here in Norwood, there's Mount Grove, and they hate me. They're mad at me. They'll tell you right out, they despise me because I expose what's going on. You cannot say the name of Jesus Christ in Masonic Lodge. And when they put you through the first degree, you'll be blindfolded, and they will tell you that you are in the darkness and they're leading you to the light. And they'll take you by the arm. And you say, Reggie, how do you know all this? Because I went through it. You have to be invited. You can't just walk and say, I want to be a Mason. They'll take you in there and they'll say, now we're going to pray. And they'll say, now let's kneel and pray. And so you'll kneel and they'll say this prayer and they'll take the blindfold off of you and you're knelt down before what they called a man in a big chair called the worshipful master. That is idolatry, satanic to the core. You don't kneel and worship any man. And they blindfold. It's such a picture of how Satan operates. What's he do? Puts a blindfold off of you, leads you right in there, gets you to bow down to a man, then takes the blindfold off of you, and oh, now you're at a certain point in this ceremony, and we're gaining ground and pats you on the back. Boy, you're going to become a brother. And we'll make sure you get business in the community. And I'll just tell you, I don't hate no Masons. You Masons, listen to me. You just get off my back. I love you enough to tell you the truth.
Amen.
It's wrong.
Amen.
And people will be at their Masonic Lodge meeting and won't be at church on Sunday morning, yet they claim to be Christians.
Yeah.
And they'll fight you. I guarantee you, Jeffrey, if you ever said something publicly much about this, you know what they'd do? They'd tell every brother Mason within 30 miles, do not take your vehicles to Stampers. That's how they operate. People don't like this, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to stand before God Almighty. It's not right. And if you love them enough, maybe you ought to say something to them. I don't hate them. That's nonsense. Isn't it amazing in America now that if you disagree with something or say, hey, that's not biblical, this is not right, all of a sudden you hate us?
Yeah.
It's not true. What if in this church service tonight, you said, oh, I want to become a member of this church, and we put you back here in some room, and we got Tommy back here leading you around by the arm, and got him blindfolded over you, bring you in here, and giving you all this jazz that sounds all spooky, 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 and say, now we're going to kneel down and pray. And when they take the blindfold, I'm sitting up there in a chair, and you're knelt, and they're calling me worshipful master. Anybody interested in that kind of idolatrous paganism tonight? Is that not paganism to the core? And it's in every town in this country. And I'll just tell you something else. I've been around the block or twice. I used to preach revivals, I mean, constantly in the 80s and all through the 80s up in the low 90s. I got to where I could walk into a church and know whether, by the spirit in that church, whether the Masons had influence in that church. If the Masons had influence, pastor could be a Mason, the major men, pillars of the church were Masons, that you could not have revival in that church. It would not come. Spirit of Satan is in it. You're just wasting your time. But they know how to play it. Oh, we love Jesus. We're Christians. We're a Christian organization. No, it's not. Idolatry has nothing to do with Christian. I don't know. Maybe somebody needed that tonight. But it's just truth. You need to be willing to bear reproach for Jesus' sake. Anyway. Number 37, Jesus is the Word in person. The Bible's in print. Number 38, Jesus is the Word incarnate. The Bible's the Word inspired. Number 39, Jesus created all things. And God's Word created all things. That one fact ought to tell you all you need to know. Jesus, the Bible said in Colossians, created all things. Go back to Genesis and see what it says. And he said, God's Word created it with his Word. Number 40 on the back, Jesus is the resurrection life. The Bible is quick and powerful. It makes alive, John 6:63. Number 41, Jesus has a sword. By the way, that sword in Revelation, it comes out of his mouth. The Bible is called a sword in Hebrews 4:12. Number 42, Jesus, his eyes are as a flame of fire. That's three times in your Bible. The Bible in Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 20 and chapter 20 verse 9, I will make my words in thy mouth as fire. Can I tell you something? Preaching burns sometimes. I'm just being honest with you. Witnessing burns people sometimes. I don't want to hear it. Don't talk to me about that. Don't want that. Why? It burns. Number 43, Jesus is called meat in John 6:55. The Bible is called meat in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And Jesus is called a rock, 1 Corinthians 10:4. The Bible is called a rock in Matthew 7:24. And I check that now throughout. It says he that heeds my words. Okay, that's where the rock is. Number 45, Jesus is our judge. Acts 17:31. He's going to judge the whole world. The Bible is the judge in Revelation 20. The books were open. And they were judged every man. It flat out tells you that you're going to be judged out of this book. These books, 66 books of the Bible.
Amen.
Number 46, Jesus is despised and rejected. Isaiah 53. And everybody in this church, I don't know, this whole King James Bible is despised and rejected. We don't use that anymore around here. And you are crazy if you do. Well, that's it. We went through that little journey. I hope you got some good out of that. I hope you'll keep that. But let me just say something to you. You can know all this stuff. You can know all this information. But if you don't read your Bible, what good's it done you? I mean, just being honest with you, you know, this is not to tantalize your intellect. This is not to go out and say, oh, wow. It's to build your faith. To rooted, grounded, strengthened in the Lord. That I have the Word of God and I can depend on and go forward with it. Amen. And be solid in the faith. Let's stand together.